Our first guest today is Jim Hale. He's the first person to appear in our new series this summer, Words 101. And the question I have for you, Jim, other than how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, Ben. Thanks.
Excellent. What makes for good writing? Many listeners probably have read your columns in The Empire. Some of them may have been fortunate enough to take your writing course, like I have. But for those who haven't been blessed in either way, tell us on the radio right now, what makes for good writing?
Well, first of all, it depends on what kind of writing you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We expect that in a novel or a poem, good writing will be the writing where that asks you to pay attention to the music of the words themselves, all the poetry of the language. And so you slow down. You read slowly. You read carefully. You read joyfully. Not so much with an environmental impact statement. Then we just want – the readers just want to get through it as quickly as possible, get the information they need. And so we have to write in a different way that doesn't ask readers to slow down but allows that they're going to be tempted to skim.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to put the information up front as easy for them to grasp as possible and get on to the next sentence. So different kinds of writing.
And do you think that people, before they've been educated, have a good sense of knowing what kind of writing they're doing, or is that maybe one of the pitfalls that's pretty common? You think you're writing for one audience, but you're not. You're writing for a different audience?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think readers generally have unconscious expectations about where to find stuff in a sentence. So if you're reading the newspaper, you've got certain expectations about, you know, length of sentences, length of paragraphs, and those are designed to help you as the reader of the newspaper. And the same with some kind of bureaucratic writing, whether it's an analytical statement or a report of some kind. Readers know where to find the important information, so it's important for us as writers to put the information where they expect to find it.
Now, most people probably don't have a lot of formal instruction in writing once they leave high school, maybe college, you know, taking an English class at college. At that point, you're supposed to know what you're doing and put those skills to use when you're writing papers and other substantive subjects. So how do people keep how do they improve their abilities if they're not as good as they should be, and how do they keep them fresh?
Well, that's the problem for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to – the great thing is that we all start in a good place. We all know how to communicate using language. We speak almost virtually every day of our lives. We're listening, we're speaking, we're talking. Something comes in front of us, gets in our way when we start writing, gets in our way of just using language the way we know how to very well. So I think a large part of the teacher's job is to break down those barriers, to let writers know that it's okay to use the language as well as you know how to use it when we're talking.
Uh-huh.
So that's important. It's a hard barrier to break through. But we do know how to use language. We know how to use language very well.
So if a person wants to write something, is a little insecure about how good the quality of the product is going to be, can they take it back a step and say, well, how would I say it?
That's always my first advice.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having trouble writing something, trouble explaining something, how would you explain it to your mother?
Mm-hmm.
How would you explain it to your best friend? Partners are great for that. Just grab them, sit them down, say, listen to this. Does this sound like something? Or just try to explain it in speech and listen to yourself. And then go and try and put that down on paper.
And in terms of putting it down on paper, that kind of segues into my next point. We almost all use keyboards, you know, in our typewriting when
yes.
we write things these days. Is there any advantage, at least for those of us who were taught to write with a pen or a pencil? I guess everyone still knows how to do that, but I understand cursive has been banished from the grammar school curriculum. Is that perhaps something that some people might feel more comfortable doing, to write with, you know, longhand and not use a typewriter? Does that make any difference in the way the words flow onto the page or on the screen?
Well, I think ironically, in making it easier for us to revise our sentences, computers have made us worse writers.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit down at the typewriter, you took more time to compose your sentence, to make sure that sentence was as much as possible the sentence you wanted it to be. Because if not, you're going to have to retype the whole page, or like me, become Picasso with the whiteout.
Mm-hmm.
Computers, because it's so easy to revise, we type the line out any way we can onto the screen, and we say, okay, well, I'll move on. I'll come back when I'm done and revise this sentence. And you go from one sentence to another sentence like that, and as Robert Frost says, way leads on to way, and you never get back to that sentence not revised.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you get done with the document, the boss is screaming for it, you know, and so you you hit send and off it goes.
Right. Well, I know, I do write a column for the Empire as well, and whenever any sort of writing task you have to get done, this was true when I was an attorney, with a word processor, it almost feels like the more I can just get down into this document,
right,
then I'm going to be fine. But that can actually create a lot of problems, is what I hear you saying, because you're creating stuff that's not going to be subject to very good revision.
Exactly. We put so much more emphasis on composition in the first place when we're writing. We didn't write a sentence without revising it, you know, five times or as we went along. I don't write so much as I revise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just part of the process.
Now, you mentioned earlier partners and having them take a look at something. How often are you asked to proofread other people's work, and do you mind doing it? And do you really feel like when you ask other people to proofread your work that they're really reading it, or are they just saying, this looks great?
Oh, well, okay. Well, the first question, my main job, I'm a technical editor for NOAA Fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm editing other people's work all day long. I'm looking at their work and trying to help them write more clearly. In fact, we're just in the process of producing a substantial style guide to help writers. So I'm always, and as an editor, I'm sure you know, one of your big jobs is to be diplomatic. Everyone likes to be proud of their work, and they send you a document and need substantial work, and you have to really learn to be diplomatic to help people become better writers. My own family don't feel that way. my wife Michelle, my twin sister Judy, my son Harry, they're my home editorial board. They read virtually everything I write, and they mortify me with their comments. And they're great. I need that. They make me a better writer.
Well, they probably think that you're a professional writer, so that you have a very thick skin and you can handle really, really harsh, unvarnished criticism. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and attribute those beneficial motives to them.
My wife, yes. My sister, no.
Very good. Well, what lately in your career as a professional writer has been particularly rewarding for you, if anything?
Oh, yes. I think the main thing has been about a year and a half ago, I started teaching a writing course as a volunteer at Lemon Creek Correctional Center.
Uh-huh.
And it's an incredibly rewarding experience. The guys that have been there, been with me since I started. I call them my repeat offenders. They keep coming back, and you can tell they want this information. They want to know how to write better. They want to have a voice. And I've been working with Paul McCartney, the educational coordinator out there,
mm-hmm.
and it's just been a very rewarding experience for me personally. Also, writing the column for The Empire has been great because I didn't think I had that much to say, but you write one essay and it generates more ideas, and so it's been I've been able to really clarify some of my own ideas about writing.
Uh-huh.
And they're sort of further off from the mainstream than I would have imagined.
Well, I think it's a valuable message that you impart to people. I'm one of those people who cannot send a text message unless everything's spelled correctly, capitalized correctly. There's two spaces between the end of one sentence, the beginning of the next one, and I have to use correct punctuation. I do use the ellipsis a little too much.
Okay.
You know, I end, which is three dots, for those of you listening who may not know, an ellipsis is, a punctuation device to let you know that something is trailing, which is often the thing when you're sending a text message.
Right.
What do you think about the apparent demise of written English because of technology? You think it's as bad as some of the pundits have said, or do you think we're going to survive?
I think we'll survive. The interesting thing is, in one of Plato's dialogues, he has Socrates complaining about the new technology, how it's going to ruin our ability to think clearly, and that new technology was writing.
Right.
Socrates distrusted writing because he saw knowledge as something that emerges out of conversation between two people.
Uh-huh.
And writing it was like a photograph of people talking. It couldn't really respond to you. It couldn't engage in that kind of conversation. I think Socrates' fears have not been substantiated.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've come quite a long way, and I think the new technology will learn how to deal with it. I think there's a good possibility it'll make us even better communicators in the end.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the more we write, and the more facility we have in the technology to help us write, maybe it'll help us write more like we speak. And I look at texts and mm-hmm. tweets and whatever. People are writing more the way they speak. They're getting more accustomed to that.
Mm-hmm.
We're communicating more in writing now than ever before, really.
And it's not really a generational thing. I know I actually was going through deleting old text conversations.
Sure.
And some of the ones with the most annoying text speak with numbers for words and everything come from people many, many years my senior that I never would have thought would be so addicted to that kind of text writing style. I don't really know what it's called.
I don't either, but when you hear a 70-year-old say, WTF,
right,
you know something's happened.
Yes, you do. And it's probably a good thing. But I guess to go back to Socrates, you know, what he was afraid of is that he wanted things to be perfect, and not realizing that the benefits, the good that could come from reducing things to writing, you know, is a double-edged sword. Yes. So yes, everything wasn't going to be fresh and Socratic in the moment, but things were preserved.
Yes.
And the benefit there, obviously, it changed the world.
Right.
And so I think we need to be open-minded to the benefits of this new technology as well as the potential pitfalls.
Absolutely. Okay. I think it's history is littered with conservative thinkers who thought the new technology was going to, you know, send us into a tailspin.
Absolutely.
And they never did.
And, of course, I'm not on FaceTwit, so, you know, I can't really be – I can't pretend to be too much part of the new technology.
Facebook, I call it.
There you go, Facebook. What's your – do you have any other fun writing projects coming up? You're going to continue doing your great volunteer work out at Lemon Creek, but anything else on the horizon for you right now writing-wise? Are you going to be teaching some more of your classes here in town?
I hope so. I've got a – plans to do some more writing classes here in the fall. Teaching part-time out at the university. I'll continue writing the column for the Capital City Weekly.
Uh-huh.
I've got a great editor out of there, Amy Fletcher. She's done a wonderful job with the Capital City Weekly.
That paper actually has become a little more invigorated in the past couple of years.
It's wonderful now. People are reading.
Yes. Well, that's great. And so I hope that you will stay tuned. You know, this was Jeff Brown's idea to have a Words 101 segment here on a Juneau afternoon. And I know he's got some great ideas for other folks to come up. So if you, as the first guest and as quite a wordsmith and an expert in writing, have any suggestions, I'm sure Jeff would love to hear those if he hasn't filled up all the spots. And for those of you listening, don't be afraid to write when you can call. Maybe send a text message that's correctly spelled and punctuated instead, right?
That's right. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Jim.
Jeff.